Good afternoon, everybody. Excited to have you here at Round Town. We've got a really special guest. We have Morgan and Ben King, the owners of Ben's Bagels. One of our, you know, we laugh all the time in Columbia that there are a lot of young children running around today, COVID babies. Well, Ben and Morgan have their own COVID baby. It's Ben's Bagels, and excited to have y'all here.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Thank you.
Ben, Morgan, I don't know who wants to tell the story from their side of it, but I mean, you started during COVID. You know, the rumor is that you didn't feel like you had a true New York style bagel here in Columbia, South Carolina. So you started to experiment, make your own, and then it turned into picking up at my house, and it's turned into now you're at a third party. So how about tell us, you know, what made you pull the trigger and what's so great about your bagel?
Well, I can talk a little bit about the origin of it. It's been a little over 10 years. Ben worked with some of my family in the Northeast rolling bagels, right? And then we got married and moved to South Carolina, and he was very sad to give up those amazing bagels.
It was in the Upper Valley, like New Hampshire, Vermont. And I didn't know the first thing about how to make a good bagel. But there were certainly some good taste testers up there, people that really know their stuff, you know, very opinionated. But
in New Hampshire and Vermont, no.
Yeah.
There are no opinionated people there.
No opinions there, but.
But yeah. We developed a great bagel for her cousin and his wife up there. And just, I really enjoyed the journey. It's technically difficult and challenging task to get it all figured out. And so, you know, we do the boiled bagel.
It's not a bagel if it's not boiled.
That's right.
Don't let anyone tell you different.
And, you know, a lot of places steam them, but that's not, you know, it's not the real deal. But anyway, we do the, like the boil with the barley malt and, really, you know, we've spent a lot of time developing sort of the pre-fermentation and the doing a longer process with the bagel, which gives the flour time to, you know, we really develop the flavor to the absolute max. We use the King Arthur flour, and you know, from A to Z, you try to make it, you know, the original size and consistency and just eke out every bit of flavor that we can. So
he's very passionate about the baking side of it. I am very passionate about the eating side of it. So we got married, moved to South Carolina for my job. And I heard every year right around the same time, I just really miss New York bagels, even though it was in New Hampshire, but really miss New York bagels. So finally it was like, well, what are you going to do about it? That's how it happened.
This is the way a lot of things happen in life. You know, that's how I got in politics. I came home and complained about something, and my wife goes, well, quit bitching about it. Just do it. You know, so I totally understand that. But so from the bagel standpoint, you know, it sounds like you already had experience. You knew what you were doing as you got in it. So it was really, you needed somebody to push you over the edge to do it. But I'm curious to control the flavor profile, because you are very specific about the flavor and the flour and the mixture and thing and the pre-fermentation. Do you keep yeast from each one like they do with sourdoughs and stuff and move it? Or is it just, it's a fresh batch every time?
So it's sort of, I guess you could say it's like a hybrid process, similar in some ways to a sourdough, but there's no continuation of the fermentation where, you know, like a sourdough, you're going to have, you know, from great grandma's sourdough starter, you've got some tiny bit in there from, you know, 100 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, but that's not the case. That wouldn't be allowed. I don't believe. I think I find that it's very consistent to use just a commercial yeast and let it, it's called a pulish, the starter is, and it's, equal weight flour and water, and it's got some yeast in there, and it bubbles up to a certain point and then starts to fall. And then at a certain point, it's just so.
How long does it take you to do that process?
It might take, it just depends on a lot of different conditions, but I would do it from anywhere from like 8 to, you know, around 8 hours, I'd say.
So does the humidity of our beautiful city help you or hurt you? Yeah.
Famously hot and humid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in the kitchen, I'm glad that it's, you know, it's temperature controlled and, you know, air conditioned and all that stuff. So it's pretty consistent in there. At the house, I guess it's a yeah. little more fluctuation. So over the last year, it was quite a roller coaster.
You know, some of that. I bet. Yeah.
We're in a historic house over by the Lutheran Seminary. So when we were under cottage law and operating out of the house, there were days where the pooliche rose a lot faster than we anticipated.
I bet that got tricky at certain times of the year. And then, you know, here we can have 4 seasons in 2 days, you know, so.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You never know. That must have been fun. So you had the history, you knew what flavor you were looking for. You decided to push the envelope and go ahead and do it. So who was the first people to taste the bagels besides Morgan?
Well, our daughter.
Your daughter?
Our daughter, who's 3 now, was the first person to taste the bagels. And she's quite a fan of the cinnamon raisin. But I would say it was also my work lined up. We had some friends in town who we do game night with, and they got to taste the bagels first. But, I mean, I went out of town for a work trip. And he said, oh, I'm starting the bagels. And I came back and, oh, man, the kitchen was Bagel City. And I was like, oh, I guess we're doing that now. I said, yeah, I took some around for taste testers and getting approval. So I said, okay, we're rolling. But the Noma Warehouse people, too, Beth and.
Yeah, the first big batch that we made, I just showed up a few different places. I don't know if you're familiar with the Main Street Bakery. Mm-hmm. You know, stopped in there. I happen to know some of the ladies up there, and they're fantastic. So I wanted them to
try it out.
And, showed up at the Noma warehouse, and I said, hey, who wants to try out some bagels? And it, you know, things kind of grew from there. We did a little bit of, you know, just targeted advertising on Instagram. And just a few bucks here and there to target Columbia. And I have to say that the community's been really receptive and fantastic here and given us a chance to put some of these bagels out there. And
yeah, really generous. I mean, so many people have been so generous with their opinions, but which has been very valuable. We had a few New Jersey folks and a few New York folks give us some pointers on what they wanted, but they've also just been so generous, you know, as we've been getting things figured out and getting ourselves situated.
So you went, you started off Instagram, kind of created that Facebook community. So talk a little bit how that grew. You know, did you get overwhelmed in the beginning? Suddenly everybody's like, I want bagels. Or, you know, did it kind of slowly build up? And then you got to a point where like, hey, I really got to move out of our kitchen or we're going to take over the bedroom, the living room and the dining room.
Well, that did sort of happen, didn't it? Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it definitely was, you know, we had spikes and, you know, it was kind of hard to predict where things would go day to day, but we would go to a Friday evening, Noma warehouse there, Noma Flea. And, you know, for a Friday evening, we did pretty good. And so that was great. And,
but yeah, there were days where we would schedule it. You know, we'd get the orders in over Instagram and I would sit there because I don't do the baking. I can't bake a cake to save my life.
Somebody has to taste it. You know,
this is a very important
role.
It's extremely important, but also someone has to schedule it. So I would sit there with the notebook and schedule it out and write out how many kinds and, you know, so what his numbers need to be for his bake. And there were days where I'd be scheduling. I was like, these numbers can't be right. They were kind of maxing out here, you know.
And, you know, it's like we were very much limited by the size of our oven. And so there's just so many we could put out. So
in our fridge.
Our next intended move is Soda City. So in order to get enough bagels out early in the morning for that, we had to move into a larger space. So we kind of made some amendments to our process, and we're getting it fully dialed in, but really good success so far scaling up at Dirt Kitchen. So
we always knew Soda City was the, like, I mean, Soda City's great. Ever since we moved here, we love going to Soda City. I think it's one of the jewels of Columbia because we always take people there when they visit. So we always knew that's where we wanted to at least end up in the interim. So we always knew the time at the house was going to be short-lived.
Yeah, I think Soda City's a great asset. I go down there probably every weekend that I'm in town. We're doing like every other month, we're setting up a booth of just sitting there so people can ask questions. And the first time we did it, we had the Ask the Mayor booth. And it was interesting because all the people I talked to were people that were here visiting or thinking about moving here, and they had no connection to Columbia. And this was one of their first experiences.
That's great.
And so it was very interesting to listen. I mean, it was amazing. Like in a 2-hour span, there were people from Europe to Arizona who had no personal connection to Columbia, South Carolina. They were traveling and they came through, or they were looking to relocate. There was even a mom from Seattle who was bringing her child here to look at the school. And she's like, I just was worried about South Carolina being so far away and so different. And she's like, everybody's here is so nice. And then we stumble into this market and I'm like, yeah, this is every Saturday. And she's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, every Saturday. This is where people come in football season. It can be bigger in the winter. It may be smaller, but there are people there every weekend and that do their shopping. I unfortunately eat my way through Soda City.
No, you can't get out. I mean, if I go and I don't eat paella dumplings and a cookie in one visit, it's a mistake.
I got to have an arepa from Mary's. It's just like a staple.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped by and see Crystal to get a cinnamon roll.
Those are amazing cinnamon rolls. I tell you what.
Her granola is pretty good, too.
Yeah, but cinnamon rolls.
But the cinnamon roll is why I gained an extra 20 pounds. I can eat those all the time, but then Carrie Bynes, who has the lemon brownies, and they're just all types. And then, you know, the folks that are doing the baked donuts are coming up from Charleston, which I think is cool to have some things that aren't here all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think people will be excited to see Ben's bagel tent down there.
I think so. Yeah, we've heard it's going to be. We're going to get a line because I remember when we were talking about it, I told people at work, I was like, all right, I'll tell you when we launch and you guys go and support. And they're like, honestly, we don't think we'll be able to get through in the first wave. So we'll see how it goes.
Hey, the worst thing that happens, you sell out. That's the worst thing that happens.
It's true.
So, you know, and then you know what to expect. But, you know, I think we do want to know, I mean, what is the perfect bagel?
Well, I mean, to me, it's the everything bagel. That's sort of the litmus test, I would say, for the bagel. And really, I found that those sell, you know, 2-to-1 more than any other. But since we've been kind of going through scaling up and not producing as much, I've had a lot of people asking about our sun-dried tomato and oregano bagel. And that, you know, that one's kind of special. So we I think that some would contend that's the perfect bagel. It's, you know, we've got sun-dried tomatoes diced up in there, a little bit of oregano, and then it's topped with some, like, the flakes of malt and sea salt, and, you know,
it smells like pizza.
Yeah, it's the perfect base for, like, if you're into doing the bagel pizzas.
A little taste of nostalgia. But yeah, we also have that book. So we have a book on the history of the bagel. If you ever wanted to know what the perfect bagel actually is, That's great. I mean, we've learned a lot about the roots of the bagel and, you know, what it should be and what it shouldn't be. And
now I'm curious.
Oh, I mean, it's fascinating.
I buy cookbooks to read them, you know, and then I just take ideas out of it. And that's, I mean, my wife hadn't cooked in 28 years. So, you know, that's my getaway. My passion is to cook. So I love to read those type of things and learn more in depth the history of it. I've never pulled up on the bagel. So now I got to do that. What is the perfect bagel?
Well, I mean, generally, just going back to what you're saying about reading some specific cookbooks, I would have to mention The Bread Baker's Apprentice. It kind of breaks down a little bit about the science and, you know, how to eke out the most flavor. And, you know, while I was in the Upper Valley, I found that there were so many great resources at King Arthur. And even now, if you get stuck on something, they have a baker's hotline that you can contact. It's fantastic. But anyway, we, you know, we've used that book a lot. And then this one about the bagels, you know, I had heard that originally the bagel was made to look like King Jan of Poland's stirrup, in celebration of his greatness to, you know, the Polish people.
Turns out it's a myth.
Absolutely a myth. You know, because there's on record these ring-shaped breads, uh-huh, you know, that were boiled beforehand. And I can't remember the exact, Obrzanik or, you
yeah, know, it's very Polish in origin, Jewish in origin. But, I mean, the perfect bagel is boiled. It has a crust, an exterior, but then it's very chewy.
It should be a crunch, but also a chew.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with bagels, maybe I'll get, you know, hopefully Publix won't have me up in arms, but, you know, bagels you buy at the grocery store, they're just round bread with a hole in them.
Or they're dry.
Yeah, they're dry, or they're too soft, or, you know, it's like sliced bread that's a hole in the middle of round bread. That's not a bagel. Yeah. You got to be able to thunk it against a table and slice it open, and it's soft on the inside. That's my take on it. But I like the sweet bagels, and I like them with butter, which is very controversial.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm glad to see that you brought that up, because that's one of the things I'm curious about, because there is this debate, how do you eat a bagel? Some people toast them. Some people steam them. Some people add cream cheese. Some people add butter. Some people do this. I mean, everybody has their own quirkiness, and it always amazes me, because then people argue about the quality of the bagel. I'm like, well, a lot of it depends on what you do with it.
This is true, and we're house divided.
I just want to start with one thing. We can scratch steaming it off the list right away.
That's, yeah, it ruins the bagel.
We are in the camp of no steaming of bagels. So, I mean, there.
He doesn't feel strongly about it at all. But, I mean, he's cream cheese. I'm butter. Toasting is always a good idea, but the ultimate bagel is cream cheese and lox. I mean, you can throw some strawberry cream cheese on a bagel, and it's great. But cream cheese and lox on an everything bagel, that's the ideal bagel.
Well, you know, I have the affinity for that item. And in New York, I always go to Ross and Daughters, because they have the pastrami'd lox that just adds another dimension to that flavor.
Right.
And, you know, if people always say, what can I bring you back from New York? I'm like, bring me back some pastrami lox from Ross and Daughters. But also we went to a place called, oh my God, just drawing a blank. I see it. It's down in Soho, and they make their own bagels there and thing, but they also have an incredible lox. Great place if you want to spoil yourself. A little champagne and nice bagel and lox for breakfast. It's a great sounds way to good have vacation.
Yeah. Well, when we started.
Sandell's.
There you go. When we started, Ben was like, well, I think I need to go to New York. And I was like, why? Why do you need to go to New York?
Research, right, honey. Research.
Research.
I got to eat my way.
Yep. Came back with bags of bagels and proceeded to tell me about all the bagels he'd eaten there and how they were packaged. And so every decision he's made since has been trying to reflect that New York style.
So that's a great segue, Ben. Tell us a little bit about that research trip. You know, how many different bagels? What did you see difference in New York bagels? Because there, you know, there are a lot of people there are very opinionated. Oh, no, you got to go to this place. You know, you need to go to this place. And they're all a little bit different.
Well, I think the most immediate difference is that we're doing a traditional bagel, which is we cut it at 4 ounces. And so it would be almost petite by today's standards in New York, because now you're going to see like 5-6 ounce bagels. And so that's the most immediate difference. But, you know, we've kept in line with the, you know, it's twisted, hand rolled, all that good stuff. So it's pretty cool when you tear one apart, it kind of spirals apart, you know, and that's a standard for any hand rolled bagel. And, you know, the crust is really significantly different on ours from some of the staples in New York. Some places just boil for way longer. And the feedback we got whenever we were boiling for a longer time, and I do appreciate it, but it kind of, you know, stung at the time, was, you know, great flavor, a little bit leathery, you know, and just one of those compliment sandwiches. But, you know, that stuck with me.
Yeah.
Really, we've amended ours to like a lesser boil time, and that, you know, as it kind of gelatinizes the surface, that'll give you a thicker crust, mm-hmm. or thinner, depending on the time, and makes a big difference. So,
did all the New York bakeries hand roll?
I won't say that all of them do, but I've seen an operation in around where Dartmouth is. Mm-hmm. That they had just a regular, like a bagel machine.
Oh gosh.
And it would pump them out, but you know, there's something about the hand rolled bagel that each one's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know, it's a labor of love to me. You know, one of the things that I go back to that, you know, makes me really love working with breads is like when I was a little kid. My grandmother and mother would be working in the kitchen. This is in, I guess, Decatur, Illinois. And she made the best sourdough. And, you know, the kind of sweet sourdough where you can, you know, crush an entire loaf, no problem. But, you know, when I was really little, you wash the hands up and then they'll put some olive oil on there and you know, pick me up and I get to punch the dough down and I can still just smell it, you know? And that's like, you know, to me, that's a smell of just, that's love, you know, there's something about it. And so, you know, that translates to me to the whole bagel experience. You know, it's not just about cranking out good, you know, just a bunch of bagels, but
quality over quantity.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like to me that your passion came from that experience with your mother and grandmother, and then working with your family, actually making the bagels, brought that out. And then here we are. So, I mean, it really is a family bagel here that y'all have created, which is really cool. I mean, I think it's great. Number one, you took that time and said, you know what, we're going to do this and we're going to start at our home and we'll see where it goes. And here you are, you're graduating to Soda City, which I think is great. You know, the rumor on the street was there was a brick and mortar coming. And I hope that's true down the road, that we get to see bagels, 7 days a week from Ben, but, we'll take Saturdays for now.
Down the road, hopefully. That's our goal.
Well, I think the hand roll piece and sticking to that is so important. So I have a good friend who was here at the university that I knew. A lot of her friends worked for me when they were here in school. And she took her mom's recipe for biscuits. And today she makes about 10,000 biscuits a day, but every one of them is handmade. She has a fleet of bakers and they make everything by hand every day. And you just, she's looked at long production. It's not the same.
Right.
Because you can tell. You can see the difference in the biscuits and how they're made. They're not perfect. They're not this. But there's something about that. Putting your hands in that dough and getting it and rolling it out and cutting yourself and reworking it. there's a reason. And, you know, it's, I think your experience of punching it down, that part of it makes a difference in the quality. You can't replicate it with a machine. Just can't.
And I think too, you know, the food business is rough. Like, you know, burnout is real. And I just think, you know, if you take something you love and you turn it into just a process where you're cranking things out, you know, what is there to love about it and keep you going? And I think at this point, you know, it's a labor of love for Ben. So it's worth the effort.
Ben and Jerry's. I was a Ben and Jerry's franchisee. I was on their franchise council. So I got a lot of interaction with those guys. And their theme always had been since day one, if it's not fun, why do it?
It's true.
And the food business for me for 21 years was fun. I got out of it because it got to a point it wasn't fun anymore. And so I had to step back. Do I want to get back into it someday? Probably, because I love the interaction with people, but I also love creating stuff. And it is like being an artist. It is your art that you're producing. And when you get feedback from people and they love it and they enjoy it, it's worth every penny of time. But it is a hard business. Yep. It's not easy. You know, starting a business anyway is not easy, as you both know. I mean, it's a challenge in itself. There are hoops to go through. There are hurdles to go through. But then you get into the food business. There's so many other pieces to it that people don't understand. Yeah, I just didn't pop that in the oven and it came out. There's a whole process before I even get to that point.
Right.
So I applaud y'all, number one, for taking that leap of faith. And two, I think you've created something unique that so far from what I hear on the street, people are really enjoying.
Well, we're enjoying it too.
Yeah, we definitely have to make some allowance for more just having fun down the road where we don't get bogged down in just the same menu.
Yep.
So we've developed the sun-dried tomato and oregano.
The blueberry.
Oh, the blueberry.
Yeah, why don't you tell us all the flavors that you've done and what you think you're gonna debut out? Are you gonna have rotating menu at Soda City so every Saturday it's not the same? Yeah, I mean, obviously everything bagel, as we heard, is the one that will be there.
So there's the plain dough, so that'll show up as just your plain bagel, salt bagel, everything. Asiago,
sesame.
Yes, sesame, cinnamon sugar, all those. And then there's the blueberry. That one is a lot of fun. We've replaced a certain amount of the water with blueberry puree, so it has that color, very bold color. And then it's got dried blueberries in it as well, lots of them. And so that really, you know, one of my frustrations in the past has been it's a plain bagel masquerading as a blueberry bagel. You get a scent of it in the air. You see a little bit, a smattering of blueberries in the bagel. And then you get into it and it's like, where's the flavor? So we dedicated a little bit of time to getting this one to where it is really bold. So
that one sounds like one I just need to put a little cream cheese on and be happy.
Yeah, and we sourced the blueberries originally from, I want to say, Dulce Vita Farms over in Eastover.
Oh, okay.
When they did their blueberries.
Well, they were in season. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when we started the blueberry bagel. It's the best.
So are you drying the blueberries yourself?
No, I don't have like the dehydrator and everything at this point.
Those are the roasted blueberries. Yeah. He did ask for a dehydrator for his birthday one year. And I was like, all right,
slow down. So you've put out these flavors, and obviously for y'all, it is about the taste and the ingredients and making sure that you're using the top quality. I know you've been experiencing with flavors. What's the worst flavor you came off with so far?
I mean,
or one that you that just didn't make the
didn't work.
Well, I'll tell you one that's in process that you know, it's been some success and some failure is the marbled rye. And, you know, it's really, I've just been on the fence about this whole like caraway, no caraway. It's such a divisive topic.
It has to have caraway.
I know.
It's not right if it doesn't, right?
I mean, my grandmother would be rolling right now. Yeah. If you said, I mean, she used to keep an extra thing of caraway seeds, and then she would put more on top of her cream cheese or spread or whatever she put on.
And really, like, the everything topping originally had caraway in it. Ours does not. But, yeah, again, it's kind of divisive as far as on the everything. I think it's best not to have it, but it was, I will say, a little bland the last batch because of not having the caraway. So we'll fix that on the next round.
Do you make a pumpernickel?
Well, that's, that'll be next up.
Next up. And I say that because I have a good friend in town, and he literally is from New York, grew up in Long Island, and that's the one thing he's like, I can't get a good pumpernickel bagel here. And he's like, that's the only, he grew up, that's what they had on Saturdays. And so he's always in search. So I'm going to have to make sure, if you ever get there, to make sure he tries
it. Put it in the queue.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, it's actually fairly difficult to find the pumpernickel flour around here, but you know, it is possible to source it, but.
Yeah, so it's been, we do try to use a lot of local stuff, and that's the big thing for when we go to Soda City is, you know, it won't just be bagels, it'll be sandwiches and doing Ben's cream cheese.
And we make it. Whoa,
we're not going to make the cream cheese.
No,
to clarify.
But we're going to flavor it. So one of the things we're going to do is Cottle Farm strawberries.
Y'all are really full time now.
No, we can't be that full time. No, but you know, mixing it. So we're going to do a strawberry cream cheese with Cottle Farm strawberries. You know, try to stay local as possible. But the strawberry cream cheese is the one I'm excited about.
I mean, here there's so many folks that are, you know, harvesting bees. There's so much great honey here. Mm. To locally, and obviously having Cottle Farms blueberries are big here. It'd be interesting to see if you get crazy and make like a boiled peanut cream cheese or something.
Oh gosh, I love boiled peanuts, but that might be a bridge too far.
Hey, an afternoon snack. You know, you could be a trendsetter here. I just gave you an idea for free.
It's true. We'll give you copyright on it. Yeah. We do have some friends up in Smyrna who have, they run a homestead and they do honey. I think it's Honey Strong Homestead. And you know, if we ever do like some sort of honey cream cheese, you know, with some sea salt, I think they'd be great.
I mean, for me, you know, as a kid, I'd mix butter and honey, and we always had honey from somewhere local. And my grandmother, wherever we went, anytime a trip somewhere, she always bought honey locally, and we all had to have a spoon. She swore you'd never get sick if you got.
Yeah, it's good for allergies.
I believe it to this day. I travel to a foreign country. The first thing I do is find local honey, and I take a spoonful of it.
Yeah, it's great for local allergies. We do that with our daughter as well.
And, you know, talking about the like the honey and butter, I really like a good maple butter as well. That, ooh. Oh, that's killer.
We'll bring the north down to the south for that.
All right, we all like good maple.
Yeah, can't beat it. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think the fun thing about the business and the flavors, it's been very much definitely taking something that's not native to South Carolina, but making it our own and then making it our friend's own, you know, because they tell us what they like and, you know, hearing from people in the community, and we incorporate that.
So tell everybody, because there are a lot of people that may have not had the, have tried your bagels. How do they order it? What, is there a different, is there X amount of time period that you got to place your order ahead of time? Are y'all going to do pickup pre-orders for Soda City and that be a pickup point for some people? You're going to be smearing in them and toasting them and coating them and buttering them and peanut buttering them there on site?
It's going to be all at Soda City for the most part. We have a few friends and family that can get it on site.
They get the special delivery.
Yeah.
I mean, really the way things are set up, we're going to be getting up super early to get the bake done before getting into Soda City. So the actual time we would have for packaging stuff beforehand will be minimal. So we'll probably just skip the pre-ordering for the most part and just first come, first serve, but definitely planning on having an abundance of them there.
It'll be different once, you know, when we're back to brick and mortar. You know, we had a little more flexibility when we were at the house, you know, because we were on a different schedule and we could be more flexible. And so mm-hmm. we could bake every day of the week except Sunday. And, you know, that was our prerogative. But now with the volume, it's just, you know, it's a small endeavor at this point. And really to save our sanity and our sleep, it's like push it all to Saturday, have a concentrated effort that day, rest up, go back to it right now.
Hey, it drives people. I mean, there's certain things that I know only can get on Saturday, and I go and get those things on Saturday. They're part of our weekly routine.
Yeah. I mean, I think Saturday is a great day to get your bagels.
So hopefully we can, you know, we'll be open to discussions regarding getting like bulk orders of bagels. So we'd like to grow another day or two of production from that kitchen before actually making a move to a brick and mortar. So
yeah, wholesale to folks that want to incorporate bagels into their menus, whether it's a bagel sandwich or something else like that.
That'll be great. So when will be the first Soda City? This Saturday?
We haven't actually scheduled.
Okay.
Probably next month.
Next month.
Yeah. That's the goal right now.
There's still, you know, some just logistical.
Yeah, we've got to get a few more items that'll actually allow us to do everything there that we want to do, like a grill, and, you know, then we'll be there.
Well, folks, keep watching their Instagram to find out the day that you get to go to Soda City and buy, eat, and get schmeared by Ben's Bagels.
Make some t-shirts.
Get schmeared. It's funny how some people still don't know what that means.
Well, we can educate them.
That'd be good. I'm excited to taste your custom blends on the cream cheese. Obviously, having a business that's grown there onto Soda City is very exciting for us. I think people are really going to flock to it. And, you know, great way to start, you know, July, August, a little slower, you know, from the sense of before football season comes, and then it's game on through the holidays. True. Are y'all going to do special orders for holidays?
Gosh, have you thought about that?
I really haven't. Like for the holiday, you know, it's something that, you know, I find that frozen bagels it's the best way to keep them. Is, you know, you want to use them within, you know, between when they're made and
24 hours
really before they're, I consider them stale. So I would, you know, I'm considering doing some frozen product and making that available, but we haven't put anything solid together for all that.
Yeah. People like to buy, you know, especially during the holidays, to have around the house for breakfast. And mm-hmm. and we see a real uptick in, and I know at my house, I mean, there's certain breads and things that we get shipped in. We're like, this is our holiday. This part of our holiday, we're going to have it. You know, it's standard. It's got to be there.
That's true. That's the way it is. We go home to my parents for Christmas, and it's always that way. The kitchen island's covered in Kringle and nuts and sourdough, and yeah, if we can be part of that tradition for folks in Columbia, that'd be great.
It's fun to, you know, because a bagel is something you can eat any time of the day, like you were talking about earlier. I mean, you may have lox and bagel for lunch, you may just have a toast in the morning, but you know, a little cream cheese bagel in the afternoon with coffee, you know, carries the day sometimes.
It's a pretty good snack. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because your bagels get eaten so quick, y'all are never going to make bagel chips. So, you know.
Well, we have toyed around with that idea a few times. You know, the bagels get eaten quick, but there's always something that happens where you've got a few hanging around in the basket. And bagel chips go great with everything.
We have experimented some with making bagel chips. And, you know, it's pretty simple as far as, you know, slice them down. And we just drizzle with a little bit of EVOO, mm-hmm. and salt, pepper, garlic, and toast them up like that. And when done just so, they've got a nice little crisp on the outside, but yet they're slightly flexible.
I think it'd be great to take to Soda City too, though. Because, you know, people, I mean, I do it. I have a book club and we've done it with the bagel chips and I take them with some dip, you know, or bruschetta, you know, it's great.
It's just something.
Are there ever extra bagels? But, you know.
It's my thing. I always wondered that when they were, you know, when bagel chips started coming. And person I know that's in the biscuit business, they're taking leftover dough and making biscuit crackers now.
But, oh, smart.
Those things that, I don't know, this the flavor there and the dip, and it's different, and it just adds to, you know, the moment that you're in and, you know, the people you're with. I don't know. I think it'd be cool because nobody else here is making bagel chips that I know of.
That's true. And they're thin on the ground. They are thin on the ground. So, yeah, no, I think they're fun. I mean, I think the thing about bagels is, like, you're right. They can go any time of day, but they can also evolve into different things. You can have bagel chips and bagel crostini.
I made a bagel casserole. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And substituted that for regular bread. I did everything bagels, and I put spinach and tomatoes and all that in there. And my girls were like, "Dad, this is great. You need to do this more often." I said, "Well, I just read about it." So
you got some serious points on that one.
Daughters come home to visit and they want me to cook. But, you know, there's certain things you always incorporate that are favorite and then try different things. But it was really good, but I never thought about it. And you got to use stale bagels. And I was like, it's a perfect avenue for us to try something different.
Yeah.
You know, on my last test batch, I did a number of cinnamon sugar bagels that I just didn't give them all away. But I handed quite a few over to my mother, and she made some delicious bread pudding, some with the raisins, some without. But it was all just
the possibilities really good. Are endless when it comes to bagels.
Yeah, the most decadent bread pudding I've ever eaten in my entire life is made with Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, gosh, that does sound decadent. Sounds a little too much, if we're being honest.
It is a heart stopper, to be honest with you.
Literally,
and you can't eat a whole lot, but the flavor is very unique, very, very well. So, Morgan, Ben, thanks for being here. Believe it or not, we're rolling out of time, but I would love for y'all to pitch out to the public. Ways they can contact y'all, you know, and how they can follow y'all and watch the journey and how they can get ready to buy some Ben's Bagels.
Well, we're on Instagram, Ben's Bagels Columbia. Honestly, that's the most straightforward way to get in touch with us until we launch a website. That's the best way to stay up on what's coming next.
And one thing that people could do to help us out, we've been nominated for Best of Columbia.
For best bagels in Columbia.
Yeah.
Well, pretty. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, just looking for all the votes on that. And
when's the voting stop?
I don't actually know.
All right. You heard
We're
it
hoping.
Here.
Hoping it's still open, actually, now that we've said that.
So is that with the state paper or is that with the Free
That's
Times?
That's Free Times.
Free Times. So folks, get to the Post and Courier site, hit your Free Times tab, go and vote for Ben's Bagels as best bagels. Help boost up their business. Make them push that envelope so they open a brick and mortars so you can have it 7 days a week.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks for being here, Morgan. It was a pleasure to meet you, Ben. Thanks for y'all being here. Excited for what your birth of your latest baby, Ben's Bagels. But it's exciting, you know, and I think, you know, I can tell the passion. You really have your heart in it, and it's something you wanted to do, and you're both excited about it, which is so important. And, you know, it sounds like your daughter's a great test tester. So, I mean, if you let her keep picking the flavors, you probably got a winner.
Yeah, it's truly a family business at this point. We're really excited.
Well, thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned.